May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Some of us like to be recognised, and others of us don't. And in my life, I've worn more than one uniform over the years that has allowed me a degree of anonymity when I'm out of the uniform. But recognition is apparently one of the earliest developments in memory. A child both recognises his or her own mother and at the same time identifies with other children. These simple but important exercises play a crucial part in our response as human beings to the world around us. It is in our very nature to categorise and identify that which we encounter. But the importance of this process lies chiefly in our need for safety and security. That which we know and understand cannot harm us because our understanding allows us to respond accordingly. But it was our forebears of the 19th century who made taxonomy, the science of classification, into an art form. From lengthy observation and detailed itemization emerged such significant works as The Theory of Evolution and The Science of Geology, which enabled us to accurately define the age of the planet on which we live. But all knowledge gained by human endeavour carries with it the potential for wise or harmful use. We bring to our identification of things certain prejudices gained along the way. So the 19th century classification of racial types, which erroneously identified some races as superior to others, has been the cause of lasting harm. It was in part, however, to this extraordinary faculty of the human mind that Jesus appealed when he spoke to us in parables. Jesus knew of the profound hunger for identity which resides deep within us, and of the need to bounce the question, "Who am I?" off many and various surfaces. Much of the curious power of the parables of Jesus lies in their ability to locate us. Their context and their character enable us to discover both who we are and where we are in relation to God. And so, as we hear of Jesus clambering into a boat on the shore of Lake Galilee in order to address the crowds, we find ourselves moving among them on the beach, manoeuvring to get the best view and straining to hear his words. And as we contemplate the parable of the sower, we find ourselves having to choose between four categories of people: those who hear the word of the kingdom and do not understand, those who have no root and wither away when trouble arises, those who hear but are overwhelmed by the cares of the world and the lure of wealth, and those who hear, understand, bear fruit, and yield in abundance. Now, quite possibly, at different times in our lives, we find ourselves in all four categories. Perhaps we find it easier to identify others in some of those categories, and our prejudices come to the fore in our own desire to classify. But to place either ourselves or others in these categories would be to miss the point of the parable. If we were indeed among the crowd at the lakeside, then we may have understood very little of what Jesus was saying. For the explanation is only given later to the disciples and not the crowd. What the parable really teaches us is about the character of the sower. It is the mysterious nature of this sower to cast seed everywhere, irrespective of its potential yield. Now, no modern system of agriculture could countenance such profligate sowing of seed, and even in the uneven soils of first century Galilee, this would have offered a poor harvest. But why does this sower act in this way? And where does this locate us? Firstly, we have to remember that this is a parable of the kingdom of God, a place where our inherited system of worldly judgment can be set aside, and where we have to perceive the way that things might be through God's lens and not our own. The field is the place where we witness the very miracle of life itself, where the amazing process of germination yields the crop from which our life-giving bread is made. But Isaiah likes the process of sowing seed and producing bread to the speaking of God's word. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that purpose for which I design it and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. But if that is the case, why not target the sowing of this seed more accurately? How can we explain the extravagance and the waste? The mystery behind these questions can only be understood if we locate ourselves with the sower. We are among the disciples to whom the key is given. God chooses to involve us in his mission and has given us real responsibility. How will we distribute the seed? How will we share God's word? Our instinct is to impose our own system of control. We would not be the sower who flings the seed about without looking to see where it is going to land. We would carefully distribute it only among those with whom it would bear fruit. How different our defensive desire to control this process to God's wild randomness. Jesus knew all about the powerful impact of the extravagant gesture. He was the child born in poverty to whom wise men brought costly gifts. Great crowds followed him, but he chose just 12 to join him. He spoke of a shepherd who leaves 99 sheep to search for one lamb, and he defended a woman who wanted wasted precious valuable ointment in perfuming his feet. Ultimately, he gave up his own life on the cross in the most extravagant gesture of all, because he knew that extravagant gestures give value to things which apparently have no value. God's word is not a discipline either for us or for those with whom we may share it, but an opportunity to encounter the word of the kingdom which may lead us to life. The kingdom of God is a place of generous giving with little expectation of return. It is a place of the extravagant gesture, where people of seemingly no value are revealed to be people of infinite value to God. It is a place not of waste, but of worth. And so we find ourselves located not among the hearers, but among the sowers, compelled to scatter our seeds of faith, hope and love, wherever and to whomever we can, with no thought for the harvest, accept the assurance that God's word will accomplish what we could never have dreamed of. Open the ears of your people, O Lord, that they may hear your word and bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Divine sower, scattering seed, never hoarding, wasting life, or so the world thinks, give us the depth to receive the gift so freely given, and the maturity to revel in love's abundant, reckless growth, through Jesus Christ, the grain of life. Amen.